Raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Anyone need a Sunday school bug?
I'd like to start out by saying it's an honor to be in God's house today. You know, we've had illnesses and we've had struggles like all of us and stuff. But there's no greater pleasure that I get than to be in God's house. You know, I've told many people many times, you know, there's something about this place. And for the lost who go by every day, we're witnessed by our cars being here. Before we get started, Brother Bill, would you lead us in prayer?
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the house this morning, Lord. In the precious name we do pray.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill. As Ralph said, we're going into the wisdom of helping us to avoid disaster. You know, I've studied and thought about this, and there's no greater wisdom than what our Father can give us. And that's through His Word and through prayer. And I sometimes fail at that. But the wisdom that He has given me to pass on to my children is a gift that can never be replaced. I'd like to start out by, actually, I want to read just a few verses, and I think our book references it in here. But in the book of James, I'm going to start with the first chapter. I want to read about three or four verses, starting with verse 3. It says, "Knoweth this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting anything. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all him men liberally, and unbridle not, and it shall be given to you. So, but let him that ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven in his wind and tossed." We go to the Lord. I pray for knowledge and wisdom to try to teach these classes, as well as to understand some of God's Word. In our book, on the first page, on page 20, in the first look, it says down, third paragraph it down, it says, "The law of God are not subject to human approval. Everyone may agree on a wrong course of action, but it is still wrong. Our consent will not change wrong into right. In many ways, our world trivializes righteous behavior and glamorizes sin." Amen. You know, we see this in our walks of life now. We learned from our parents, I believe, and as we passed it on down. And it's our actions show a lot too. We need to remember our actions. We can talk the talk, but we got to walk the walk. You know, amen. You know, I know Brother Larry's talked many times about his mother and, you know, grandmother and stuff beside the wood stove praying. It's something, Larry's not a young man, but something he still remembers vaguely. You know, and you know. And I'm sure he can picture it in his mind right now. And I see the same actions with some of my relatives. Going to the first part, it says, "The wisdom of our elders." Verse 1, chapter 5 of Proverbs says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thy ear to my understanding." We are to listen and use that knowledge once he gives us. But, and it says in verse 2, that thou mayest regard discreet, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. How do we keep things? Do we keep it by just sticking it in the back of our mind? Or do we keep it by using it daily? You know, that's something that I've learned over my time in the service, that I had to do things that brought me back. Actually, when I was in the Marines, it brought me back to that. There was things that was done with repetition, constantly, to become good at that. Well, the same thing applies to our Bible. We need to read it with repetition and study it and pray upon it. Down on page 19 of our book, it says paragraph down below our verses, it says, the writer of Proverbs was still speaking as a father to his son. To help his son, he used four instructive terms for the accumulation knowledge of an age that he wanted to pass along to his children. They are wisdom, understanding, discretion, and knowledge. First, we are taught to attend the wisdom of others. If we insist on learning everything through our own experiences, not only limit what we can know, but we are also ensured that we will have a pitful life. Experience may be a good teacher, but the tutor in the school of hard knocks is high. Wisdom is about making the right choices. Have you ever been talking to someone and speaking to them and said something wrong that, going looking back on it, that really could have offended that person or hurt that person for life? I think of the, I don't know why God put this on me, but I think of the mouth. The mouth is a two-edged sword. We can take somebody down so bad with our mouth and our words, but we can also help build them up if we use our words using God's word. Those words we use, we need to be cautious. And wisdom comes into effect there. We got to have the wisdom to know what to say and do it. Anybody got? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.
If we'd have figured it out a long time ago, we'd have been a lot better off.
Amen. You know, some of it is, like you said, is if you do something wrong, are you going to do it again, over and over and over? Where does your knowledge? And where does your knowledge come from? Does it come from the Holy Bible? Because this book can help us through any situation. He promised us he'd never put more on us than we could ever bear. So right here is our guideline. Can we just pick it up and just go to reading and think we can solve the world's problems? No, we can't. But if we study and pray upon God's word, he will bring us to the places we need to be. And on page 20 here, there's one sentence that just stuck to me. It says, and it's talking about the discretion. It means that we should never look at a blessing delayed as a blessing denied. Amen. You know, that touched me right there. That, you know, I was talking to Pastor Ralph Smith down store yesterday and stuff, and he was studying, getting ready to preach today and stuff, and we were talking about it, and there's only one way to learn God's word, and that's through prayer and reading his Bible. And I've seen in and then in Colossians, first chapter, verse 9, the one verse here, it said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul, in that verse, said he would not cease to pray. My knowledge of my work, I feel, is pretty accurate sometimes. My knowledge as a father, sometimes I struggle. My knowledge in the Bible is always going to be, as Brother Larry said, a learning experience. I'm still learning. I've read verses over my lifetime, and I've took them two different ways, and that's coming from God, just how God brought it to me and how to use it. It says in our book here on page 20, it says, "Through life we learn many things. We never must learn them all over again." The idea here is that we know part of our thinking. This is the thought in Psalms 119:11, we are to hide the word of God in our hearts so that we do not sin against God. Amen. If we get into the second part here, it says, "For the lift," and then this here is what Solomon's talking about, is about adultery. And he's talking about a woman. It says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are immovable, that thou canst not know them." You know, before we engage in any activity, I think it says here in our book, it says we need to consider our consequences and what's going to take place. Here he is using this Solomon, but this can apply to anything, how we use it in our actions. Our situations where we put ourselves into, where we shouldn't be, and that could be physically, or it could be mentally, or spiritually. We can get ourselves into a mess. I've done it, and I'm sure most of you have done it. It says, "Many seem to want to break these rules and avoid the consequences. Others think they are somehow an exception to the rule that govern everyone else. Add to this the temptation that is set forth by what Solomon called the strange woman. The word strange literally means not of your family. This woman was not your wife. This is not the companion that you know. Rather, unknown or stranger who is perceived to be somehow better because she is different." You know, we go back to the Garden of Eden, and you think about the apple on the tree. It was perceived to be something it wasn't, and that is carried down. It was their sin through history. Has anybody got anything?
Be careful who we listen to.
Amen.
And not only that, but we ain't got time because we're messing around with something all the time.
Something that's out of God's word. Amen. Go fishing or hunting or whatever it may be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
not talking about you.
Amen, brother. I'm in the same boat. You know, I'm guilty too. And, you know, it's situations we put ourselves in sometimes.
Now, let me ask you a question. Are we not smarter than the world will have to learn when the children's out here running through the world while they're saving babies?
Amen. Amen. You know, No matter which way you look at it, sin is sin. I've yet to find anywhere where there's a big sin or a little sin. Sin is sin. And we are to teach our children and teach those, you know, around us, and that what this Bible teaches us. And we gotta be able to do this with the actions as well as words and our actions. But we gotta be able to do it in those hard times, you know. When we lose somebody in our family, you know, or something. There are people watching us. It says in her book on page 22, it says, we are warned not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. It refers to 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, it is not a sin to be tempted. It is a sin to yield. Temptation is the best resisted by a clear understanding of the truth of the Word of God. If someone offers you honey and oil or of sin, apply the truth of the Bible and realize that they are actually trying to get you to taste the bitterness of wormwood and harm you with a sharp sword. We will still be tempted, but if we hide God's word in our heart, we will also have the means to resist. There's going to be temptations in our daily walk. It's like Larry said on TV, you know, you can't flip. If you want to watch it, something rated G, as your commercial, I've seen it, you know, have my kids watching something that's rated G on TV, and there'll be a commercial on that'll just flat floor you, that it's so devilish, I guess you could say. Yes, that is right. Amen. I'm going to go into the third section here. I know I'm kind of rushing through it. The dangers of yielding to evil conduct. Here Solomon says, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. He is telling you right there, basically, is if this situation is a temptation to you, stay away. Pretty simple. Lest thee give thy honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with the wealth of thy labors, be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despises reproof? And have you not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me? You can mess up your life pretty bad with certain situations. You know, and it can be something new. Will be there everlasting. You know, we got a Savior who forgives us. And if we take those sins to Him in prayer, and He is faithful to, with an open and willing heart, He is faithful to forgive us. But I seen day that a friend of mine lost everything he had because of sin. He lost his family. He lost his home. He lost everything. I'm not going to mention this guy's name, but I ask you to remember him in prayer. You know, he says in our book, it says, warnings mean more when they are accomplished by remedies. In these verses, we see another warning, but we also see what we should do about the warning and the evidence counsels of ignoring the warning. And it goes on down on page 23. It says the sin is never a happy ending. The ruin is a loss of personal honor. We waste the precious years of our life. Sin steals our lives moment by moment. We may truly regret the years we lose to sin, but we can never get them back. Sin will give our wealth to others and leave sinners mourning and physically consumed. This is a promise, not a possibility. We'll get off this just a second. And I know Cindy mentioned my trip to Ebenezer's this week, and I emailed some people that had email, but I'd just like to share a couple of stories Jean told to me while I was down there unloading. She told me of a young boy who was, I believe he was 8, who they were having church service. They have a chapel there on their site, and they were having church service. And this young boy stood up during the service when she asked if anybody had anything to say. And this young boy told them that he was so happy living at Ebenezer's Christian Children's Home because he didn't have to be at his house where his mom had alcohol and drugs. You know, that touched my heart. And then she no more told me that. And then she told me of another young boy who was there with his family. He'd just recently been adopted from Ebenezer's. And this young man had he was nine or ten, but he had wrote on his Christmas list for his Christmas presents to his dad, and they shared it there during that service, that he wrote down things for his sister. And so they confronted him and asked him why he wrote those things down. And he said that he did not want anything because all his brothers and sisters now had been adopted by this couple, had the same last name, and he had a family. A dad and a mom. You know, there's still people touching people and turning people's lives around. And we can be a part of that, and we are a part of that, you know. And I'm thankful and so thankful to be my little part of that. But, you know, readings and hearing and stuff is kind of, yeah, but there's hope in the world. And we're there to share that hope. And that love, and no better way of showing love than telling someone about Jesus Christ and what he done for you or me. Anybody's got anything? I appreciate your time. I'm sorry I was so scattered, but wish everybody a Merry Christmas and hope God blesses each and every one of you. Thank you.